Welcome to this very special episode of Above the Clouds, which we will dedicate to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, because we had celebrated it last week. There was one particular poem which Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, wrote to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in which he expressed something which his spiritual master noted and for which he called him a Kaviraj, a true poet. This is the stanza. Absolute is sentient. Thou hast proved impersonal calamity. Thou hast moved. This gives us a life, a new and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was listening to this, he had actually become very, very, very enthusiastic. In this episode, we want to highlight two features of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One is his dedication to chanting, and the second, his amazing pointed preaching. In 1905, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati undertook a vow to chant at least 3 lakhs of holy names daily, or 10 million monthly, until he had completed a number of 1 billion holy names. Now, 1 lakh of holy names takes a normal chanter 8 hours. 3 lakhs, which he Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur chanted daily, takes us 16 hours. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur chanted at least these 16 hours a day. Day and night he chanted, because he also studied the scriptures, he found time to write, and as we will see later, he took time to preach. He was so busy that if rain came and leaked through the leaves that covered his little bamboo cottage, he would not get up to repair the hole in the roof. No, he would just hold up an umbrella and continue chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Some of his amazing insights, or how do you say, deepest realization, he shared with one of his disciples. He said, there is no point in making a separate effort to artificially remember the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes. No, the Lord and His name are one and the same. This will be understood clearly when the coverings in your heart are removed. By chanting without offenses, you will personally realize that all perfections come from the holy name. And then he said, you will realize your personal form. And once you have done so, see Krishna in his form. You will realize your own qualities and your activities, and upon doing this, you will see Krishna's qualities and his divine pastimes. All this will simply come from the chanting of the holy name. But he made a point. He said, the true nature of Harinam is revealed by listening to, reading and studying the scriptures. This is a very important point. You can understand Krishna as holy name and chant with a sense of deepest connection and devotion only when you have understood about him through the scriptures. Then he adds his letter. It is unnecessary to write anything further on this subject. All these things will be revealed to you through chanting. So, as I said, to complete his vow, he took more than 9 years. And although he was mainly active in chanting, he would also go to some important preaching programs. And there, another quality comes out. He would speak in such a way that sometimes those who were attached to falsehoods became upset because he was undefeatable. For instance, the caste Brahmanas, who think only by birth as a Brahmana is one entitled to move on the path of bhakti, and so on. He proved in an assembly that Vaishnavas are directly under the control of Krishna, not under the control of Brahmanas, and therefore they are even higher in their status than Brahmanas. Yes, so this brought him enemies. For instance, during Vanavadvipa Parikrama, the caste Brahmanas, in order to retaliate, had hired the police inspector, the chief of police actually, and some thugs, and the chief was advised to look in the other way, and these thugs or gundas were throwing stones on the Vaishnavas who were walking with kirtan through the streets of Navadvipa. They created a bloodshed, but they were after only one Vaishnava, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One disciple who had white dress saw it, and he quickly changed the saffron dress of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took on the saffron dress himself, and escaped by horse. In this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could move away unharmed. But it was terrible. These were dark moments for the Gaudiya movement. By Krishna's mercy, the news of the event spread, and the tremendous atrocity of the caste Brahmanas was revealed. So afterwards, the Gaudiyas stood there in a good light. But this could have been avoided, you could say, if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would not have been so outspoken. But there was a reason, and it is very important to understand, because this will help us understand from where Srila Prabhupada took this tremendous courage and also outspokenness to criticize the atheistic scientists, the false philosophers, the pseudo-religionists, and so on and so forth. Srila Saraswati Thakur was of the opinion that it was imperative not only to elucidate the truth, but also to criticize anything false. Because He said, in Kali Yuga, there's so much false propaganda that we have to be very clear, not ambiguous in our message. He therefore said, the positive method by itself is not the most effective method of preaching in a controversial age like the present. No, the negative method, which seeks to differentiate the truth from non-truth in all its forms, is even better calculated to convey the directly inconceivable significance of the absolute. It is a necessity which cannot be consciously avoided by the dedicated preacher of the truth if he wants to be a loyal servant of Godhead. And he said, people nowadays are so ensnared and covered and bewildered and misguided by Maya that if you don't show them this path is dangerous and it is false, then they will not be able to let go of Maya. Towards the end of life, in fact, only a few days before his departure, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spoke his last. In those days, a very renowned physician had advised him, you have to rest more, you can't speak so much. But Saraswati Thakur proceeded to preach for hours about the purpose of human life, because he felt that if he couldn't speak about Krishna, what would be the use of living? So at the end, he gathered his disciples around his bedside and he said, I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion towards the absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so that they might turn their face towards the personality of Godhead without any desire for gain and with unalloyed devotion. Surely someday they will be able to understand that. And then at the last night, it was just briefly after midnight, he turned to his disciples who were there and asked them to sing one song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The song expresses, oh, I have not developed attraction to the holy name. And with this yearning in deep humility, this high expression of longing for Krishna's complete mercy, that great Acharya breathed his last and went back to the spiritual world. When Prabhupada was asked to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he would say, what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. That is a person from the spiritual realm. Let us follow the footsteps of this great Acharya. Let us be full of willingness to hear his example, and then I'm sure our path will be so much easier. I wish you all the best and welcome to the next Above the Clouds.